Amen.
I like that, and actually fits in with what is on my mind more than you might can know.
Yeah.
But I had the thought this morning with it being Father's Day. I think every young father, maybe you older fathers too, I don't know, there's always a bit of an insecurity about, am I leading my children right? Am I leading my household right? And I tell you, there's moments of great confidence I have when I realize that my heavenly King is the great Father. He is our example. He's written in His Word, and He's shown us through the guiding of His Spirit how to lead, how to be a good father, how to be the man we ought to be. And I want to encourage all you men here today, just follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Do what's right. Don't compromise. Don't give in. Be willing to take a stand and be strong in your household, in your workplace, wherever you're at. But always follow Christ, and you won't go wrong in that way. And my father and different ones, my father-in-law, different ones I've seen, my grandparents, my grandfathers, you know, you see that example.
That's right.
Just following Christ, hard times, good times, whatever it is. And man, it's the right way to go. It's the right way to go. I thought I enjoyed I was sitting down last night somewhat with the kids. I had a lot of help last night. Thank you for that. But enjoyed what I heard of Brother Ty's preaching and Brother Matt, your testimony really kind of emphasized a lot of things Brother Ty was saying and kind of brought it down to a personal level. I appreciate that. I fear a little bit this morning there will be some overlap because I didn't hear everything you preached about, Brother Ty, but that's okay. This is what's been on my mind this week, and I thought about this scripture as you were reading there last night. And again, if you read this, my apologies, but it's good, so it'll be all right, even if it is. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
That's right.
Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
That's right.
For the preaching of the cross... Listen to this.
Yeah.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish
foolishness.
Yeah. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, how does that work? We'll dive into that in a minute.
Yeah.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
That's right.
Where is the wise?
Yeah.
Where is the scribe?
Yeah.
Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
That's right.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Brother Matt, you were talking last night about this isn't normal. This isn't, I understand that. I know exactly. Those thoughts have run through my mind, sure. Why do we do what we do? But I tell you what, it's the foolishness of preaching. God could have used so many different methods to get His message out. The man could have written in the sky the plan of salvation. He could have. There's so many. He could have tattooed it on our arms. There's so many different ways He could have delivered this message to us. Angels could have come, met with us when we were young, and taught us the way. There's so many different ways He could have done this.
That's right.
He chose the foolishness of preaching.
Yes, He did.
Of us communicating.
That's right.
The two good works and to communicate, forget not. Oh, it was read yesterday morning. To just simply for us to tell somebody else.
That's right.
In our weakness, in our stumblings, in our stutterings, in our not be able to get the words out right, He's chosen us.
That's what He sent us to do.
And
preach.
Us communicating to reach, to save them that believe.
That's right.
And so, guys, let's just get it out. Let's not worry about it being too polished. Let's not worry so much about. Just let the Spirit have its way.
That's
let it come out. That person that you feel an inkling to tell, tell them. Tell them how God can save them.
Yeah.
Tell them what He can do for them.
That's
tell
right.
them what He's done for you.
That's right.
Get it out. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Man, I think one of my big worries, you talk to people, and man, and it was just talked about last night, this doesn't sound intelligent. This doesn't sound sophisticated. And it's not, according to the world standards. It doesn't matter, guys, because we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Okay?
That's right.
This is telling us how long ago was this written? That's how the world's going to perceive it. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Right.
And He starts to tell us a little bit more about this as He goes through. God hath... You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not. Listen to that. To bring to naught things that are. He doesn't even need anything to work with. His word and his power is enough. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, hallelujah, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And he goes on and he talks about the wisdom of God and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen. This is a very important concept. I want you to know this. You can't see this thing. Ear hath not heard. You can't hear it.
Nope.
It's not with those five senses. It's not how we understand this thing. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay, well, how does it work then? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Listen to this. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God that teaches us. And I thought, you know, with the children, it seems like with Lydia, I'm able just to, I'm not so, I guess, insecure about what I'm doing. Is she going to survive? You know, is she going to make it through the night? Is she going to, you know, all these little worries. Am I scarring her for life by reprimanding her? You know, we're doing okay so far with the other two, so Lydia must be all right. You know, but just to be able to watch her and just appreciate, just maybe experiencing that a little bit right now, right? But just to see, you know, she was just born, you know, not even a year and a half ago. And to see her start to try to comprehend the things around her, to explore, to touch, to taste, to feel, to see, so curious. Trying to learn how to navigate stairs, how to navigate, you know, using a handrail, using a doorknob, you know, using a spoon, all these things, just how to properly use a cup. I mean, all these little physical things that. And she's just, and just how fast she learns and soaks these things in. And we've all done this, guys. We were all born at one point. We all start to learn, and I'm still learning, about how to navigate through, you know, just career, financial things, you know, family life. You know, we're all just constantly learning about things in this life. Well, guess what? You know, we're physical. We're experiencing a physical world around us. But when you want to start to follow God or start to learn about God, it's a completely new territory. I mean, it's a completely new ballgame. You can't understand it. And, you know, there's people who want to be spiritual. They want to, you know, connect with that thing that's outside of the physical. And they want to, and I get it. I mean, there's a craving in man for spiritual things. It's there. We don't understand it, but it's there. And people will go to all kind of different things to try to understand this and turn to different mechanisms and resources to try to get in touch with their spiritual side, you know. But the Bible teaches us for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. We're all born with that. We start to navigate and experience that. But even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He's given us a way and a resource to understand the spiritual. It only comes through the receipt of the Spirit of God. So if we want to get into the Spirit, we've got to receive the Spirit of God. But when we get the Spirit of God, we're babes in Christ. You know, we've just been born into the Spirit. We don't understand it all. We're amazed by it. We're confused by some of it. We're learning to navigate through the spiritual realm, where our spiritual eyes, our heart, our soul is open to something completely new. We're just now beginning. That's why when you get the Spirit of God, you just begin to understand the Bible. It can't be unlocked with natural means, with our natural comprehension, only through the Spirit of God. So I want to encourage anybody here this morning. Maybe you're newly sanctified. Maybe you're not sanctified yet. You're curious about it. You're trying to figure it out. First of all, seek and obtain the Spirit of God. And second of all, just let yourself learn. Let yourself immerse yourself in it. Let God teach you. I think one of the most amazing things, the Bible mentions how he teaches as no man Teacheth. I like that. If we just let ourselves, give ourselves time to be in the Bible, time to listen to God, pray, all those things that help us tap into the Spirit, He will teach us. He will guide with His eye. That's right. He'll lead us into all truth. He'll show us how things, and He begins then to teach us about physical things through the Spirit. Amazing how all that works. But I want to focus on just one kind of spiritual truth this morning. I've already spent too much time introing here, but yeah, that's all right. You'll hang with me. We'll get through this. There's spiritual truths in life that are just solid, concrete, that never change. You know, in the physical, there's things that are truths most of the time. There's always exceptions. There's always this. This always works except in case of this, and this always... Y'all know how that works. That's the world we live in. But in the Spirit, God is eternal. God doesn't change. His truth and mercy endureth to all generations. His word endureth forever. He says something, and it just continues to work and continues to work and continues to work. And I think as men, we expect everything to fail at some point. God doesn't fail. He doesn't change. So if you learn a spiritual truth, you can apply it to almost anything because it just continues. So Christ, this is one of Brother Steve Chrysler's favorite scriptures. He mentions it a lot, and I'm finally starting to understand it, I think. So I appreciate him being consistent with sharing this. But Jesus talked to his disciples, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." This is the 12th chapter of John, 23rd verse. "But verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We know we're not farmers anymore. Sometimes I think to our detriment. But a little bit of gardening you may have done that I've done, which is pretty pitiful. But a little bit I've done, you understand, even from a kid, you know. Claire brought home a nice-looking tomato plant in a Dixie cup from school, you know, where they planted a seed and watered it, you know, put it in the windowsill, let it grow. But you look at that little seed. I've done this before. There's nothing there. I mean, it's there's nothing there. You can about, you eat a watermelon, you swallow a bunch of them, and there's nothing to them. They just, there's nothing there. It's a dead thing. It's an inanimate object. It doesn't, but if you put it in the right conditions, if you sow it in the soil, let it do its thing, then life just springs up. I've got this, I've never been real successful with any kind of backyard gardening, but this year it's going pretty well. Pretty excited about it. My squash plant's huge. Sprouting things and little squash flowers everywhere. It gives me a lot of hope for some fruit from this thing. I didn't do anything real special. I just kept the thing watered and put it in some good soil. Here it comes. And it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. When I think about that little seed and this plant that's taking over my little plot there, wow, how much... It just makes no sense. You sow this little thing, you get... this, you get bushels of fruit. I mean, how does this work? But this is a principle of God. This is something he goes on and he begins to explain it a little better. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You keep it in a seed packet, it don't do much good. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." This is a spiritual truth. I'm go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And again, it's one of the scriptures, too, that I'm just now getting to understand it, I think. Man, it's exciting stuff. But he's talking to people who are really asking serious questions about, okay, we hear the Lord's coming, how does this work? We hear about a resurrection, how does this work? We hear about, those questions are still being asked today. And answered in all kind of ways, but I feel like he answered it pretty well here. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we'll start in the 35th verse. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? How does that work? And with what body do they come?" I get that. Let's think about it naturally. Okay, you put a dead body in the ground, it doesn't do anything but rot. How does this work? It don't make any sense. Well, guess what? That's not really what he's talking about. We got to think about this thing spiritually. You can't think about it through that physical set of tools we have. Think about it through the Spirit. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." That seed doesn't come alive until it's dried out, dead.
It's got to die first.
Put in the ground.
Right.
"And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, You don't just get a bigger seed popping out of the ground, no. But bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. We get a plant out of this thing, out of that seed that we sow. All right? But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. And so also is the resurrection of the dead. Listen to this. It's sown in corruption, corruption just being physical, things that will fall apart and decay. But it is raised in incorruption, something that can't decay, something that can't rot. Okay? All right. This is getting good. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. You think about dishonor. Dishonor, no one thinks anything of you.
Yeah. Right. No use.
You're not good for anything.
Right.
Raised in glory.
Right.
Something that is admired, something that is longed for. It is sown, I love this, it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. All right, this next verse starts to help us understand what he's saying a little better. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. All right, there's a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Quickening meaning something that makes alive. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Okay? The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All right. So what in the world is this saying? What are we talking about? You take something natural, and then it becomes spiritual. You take something that's weak, it becomes powerful. You take something that's shameful, it becomes glorious. How does this work? All right, well, let's go back to what Christ said. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it will die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And what did he say right after that? I lost a part there. But he said, if any man serve me, And Christ said at one point, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself. And take up his cross and follow after me. And we sang that song, Rally Around the Cross, no one ever there shall suffer loss. But in the name of Jesus, we shall conquer every foe. And victory shall perch upon our banner as we go. Well, how does that work? Cross is an instrument of death. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you guys, it depends on what side of that cross you're on. It's to them that perish foolishness.
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense from the natural side of things.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I don't notice that.
But you get on the other side of the cross. You go through the cross and get on the other side.
Right.
It's the power of God.
Yeah.
It is the power of God. So I tell you what you have to do. If any of y'all are interested in how to get sanctified this morning, what you need to do is surrender yourself.
That's right.
Let yourself die.
Yes.
What is yourself? What is that thing? It's your pride. It's who you are. It's the thing, your will.
Yes.
What do you want to do in life? What do you want to become in life? Who do you think you are in life? What makes you excited about what you've got or who you are or what you've obtained? What do you hope to obtain? What's that dream or goal that's keeping you moving forward in life? That's who you are. That's yourself. Brother Steve, you taught one time, if we strip away all the insulating layers, our vehicles, our houses, our money, our career, our talent, our skill, strip away all those things, what's left? There's still something there. There's still something vibrant and alive inside a man that makes them just have hope in the mornings and want to get out and go do something and conquer and obtain. And that's you. That's who you really are at the core. That's who you are. That's the thing that's got to die. That's the thing you've got to surrender to God. That's the thing you have to say, okay, all I've got is this seed. All I've got is this little thing. That's all I've got.
That's right.
And if I let it die and let it go, God, you have it. God can raise that thing up. God can take that little seed you have, your weakness, your dishonor, your shame, your sin, your nakedness, you know, your pride, your anger, your fears, all those things, anything you've done you're ashamed of, anything, you know, the things that keep you up in the night, take that as a seed and plant it in the ground. Let it die. Step away from it and say, God, it's yours. That's going to the cross.
That's right.
When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, tormented, knowing what was going to happen, nailed to a cross, it was going to be terrible. It was relinquishing his power is what it was. It was letting go of everything that he could do and saying, have me, take me, take me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, God. When we get to that point, that is going through the cross. That is getting to the point where you surrender yourself to God, whatever you want from me, nail yourself to that cross. But when you get on the other side of that, God begins to spring that plant up out of the ground of that seed of your life that you've planted and make something out of you. And that is when you can say, I've got victory. Where it didn't make sense on this side, where it didn't seem to be anything, where it didn't seem to be anything there, when I surrendered all that, God can begin to grow up something in our life.
Right.
He goes on and says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery.
Right.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpets shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What does that mean? When we give ourselves as a dead body to Christ, He can raise us up. He can make us alive. The dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? This is why we don't have to fear death. This is why we don't have to fear what happens to us, guys. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. We're freed from that. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to read just this one section here in Psalms in the 126th chapter. You know, the children of Israel have been taken into captivity for their sin, for their denying of God. And guess what? A lot of y'all are in that same boat this morning. When you deny God in your life, when you deny the creator of your soul, when you tell Him no, when you refuse to believe Him, when you refuse to yield yourself to Him, and man, I've observed in my life all kind of ways that people, reasons why people deny God. It may just be simple pride. I don't yield to any man. I don't bow to anybody. I go my own way. I do my thing. I've got this figured out. Even if I run into the wall, you know, I'm going to keep going. I got this thing figured out because it's about me. A lot of people say, well, I've just got the young rich ruler came to Christ, said, hey, what do I need to do to be saved? He said, well, follow the commandments. So I did that. Good to go. He said, all right, one thing thou lackest, sell everything you got. You willing to do that? And come give it to the poor. And come follow me. Can you do that? And he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Couldn't do that. The price was too high.
Yes.
A lot of people or that same boat this morning. I've got too much. I'd have to give up too much. I can't do that. I've worked hard for it. That's my stuff. You know, I'm not. You've got to surrender that to God if you ever want to make it anywhere with God. Well, you might say, well, I've got this relationship. I've got this spouse or this girlfriend, this family member, this brother, sister, friend, whatever it may be. This will mess up my relationship. I've got a career. I can't surrender that.
That's right.
Well, guess what, guys? The price to make it with God is everything we've got. Christ advised, I guess just speaking to a congregation, he said, you know, count the cost. You know, you don't want to start building a tower without having counted the cost and not be able to finish it. So he advised them, very wise. He wasn't the salesman that just wanted to get someone to sign a contract and hope they could follow through on it. No, no, no. He wants people to go all the way. He said, count the cost. Think of the things you have to give up. Are you willing to give them up? Is it worth it to you?
Right.
If you want to make it to heaven, if you want to follow God, you've got to give it all up.
That's right.
So you might as well start taking stock. When you get to the point where you say, God, I'll give you everything, then He will bless us. He'll bless us.
Right.
But these folks were in captivity. And when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Y'all feel that way this morning? Whereof we are glad. Hallelujah. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Listen to this, guys. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If there's anybody here that wants to serve God, if something's been holding you back, you don't hardly know what it is, maybe, but when you really think about it in those quiet moments, man, I really want to be back with God. I need God. I have a landscaper I talked to this week. He grew up in Mexico in a very poor community, just rampant with gambling and drugs and violence and just a horrible situation. He said, I don't know how I escaped it, really. Immigrated, began to work for a landscaper. And this man worked with him some and kept encouraging him. You need God in your life. You need God in your life. And he said, I had no reason for God. God didn't mean anything to me. God had never done anything for me. If he was real, surely he would have spoken to me. Surely he would have done something. He said, but I came to a point. He was telling me this the other day. He said, I came to the point where I didn't know what to do. At this point, he had a wife. He had children. He had a small business going. He said, and I was at the end of my rope. I didn't know what to do. He said, and I was riding home in the truck, just distraught and in despair. And I said, God, if you're real, show me something. Give me something here, God. If you're real, I need some help. Right. I need help. He said, I got home. He said, there's a family Bible that sits on the shelf my wife would read maybe twice a year. He said, I never touched the thing, never had any use for it. He said, but all through dinner that night, all I could think about was that Bible. He said, it never crossed my mind before. And he said, he opened the Bible and started to read. And he said, I knew within 5 minutes of reading, God's real. He said, God answered my questions. He opened the book of Proverbs and specific things he was worried about with his business, his family. He said it was all answered right there. He said, people ask for a manual for living. Surely there's a manual or a handbook somewhere. He said, guess what? Here it is. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you just don't believe God. As Brother Matt said last night, I understand what you're saying. I have some sympathy for atheists. I do. You need God. You need God. You need a Savior. If you have had no experience with God before, just start to talk to Him. Say, God, if you're real, work with me. I need help. And He will begin to work with you in that situation. Don't come to Him boastful. Don't come to Him proud. Don't come to Him saying, I know you're not there. He's not going to answer that. But if you come to Him humbly and humility, saying, God, I need your help if you're real, He'll begin to work with you. I'm convinced of that. Maybe you've had experience with God in the past. Maybe you're sanctified in the past. Maybe you walked with God in the past but have turned away. Surrender yourself. Surrender yourself. That's the only way to come to God, is to fully surrender yourself. And guys, I tell you, when I got sanctified, I came to Him with the things I thought I needed to change. You know? Okay, God, I'm going to change these things. Bless me. I kneeled there a while. Dad came and knelt down and said, son, it's not that hard. just got to believe, trust, you know, surrender. I'm like, I am. It's not working, you know. Give me some time here. And I really got to the point where I started to say, okay, God, I don't know what I'm doing here. Help me. I need your help. And I tell you, everybody else in the room kind of faded out, and God started to work with me. He said, David, I want you to give me this. Are you willing to give me this? This hobby, this thing, you know, that takes a lot of your... Are you willing to give it up for me? Okay, God, I can give you that, you know. And He worked through a short list of those type of things and said, okay, David, will you give me your children? God, what do you mean my children? He said, give me your children. No matter what happens, David, if you never see your children again, if they despise you, if they don't want to have anything to do with you, the worst thing you can imagine, separation from your children, will you give it to me? I wrestled with that a while, I'll be honest with you. Yes, God, I'll give it to you. He said, all right, moving on. How about your wife? If your wife despises you, will you still serve me? That cut. That hurt. Okay, God, I'll give it to you. And I meant it. And I laid it right there on that altar. Right. Here it is, God. Bless me. And He came to the final thing. He said, if you have to leave your church and your church despises you, won't have anything to do with you anymore. This thing, I love you people. This thing I grew up in, this thing I've given so much time to, if you have to give all that up for me, David, will you still serve me? It's yours, God. Have it. And man, when I gave that final offering. Everything I had was emptied out of myself. Everything that I loved, everything emptied and laid there on the altar. He blessed me.
That's right.
His spirit came inside my heart and filled me up.
That's right.
And I found with God, you have to give everything to Him to get sanctified. But there's so many things He restores to your life. So many things that He just makes better in your life.
Right.
So many things He wants good things for you. He wants to help you in that way. But I would encourage you this morning, guys, this is just one of the truths of the spiritual realm. Truths of being with God. You've got to give your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You have to be buried by baptism with Him in the death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you can walk in newness of life. Give yourself to God. Give Him everything you've got, and He will raise you up. One quick thing. Jesus told a parable of a man who took a mustard seed. Sounds like he just kind of threw it out the door. You know, getting rid of it, threw it into his garden, and that tree took root. And it grew and waxed a great tree, it says. And the birds lodged in the branches thereof. That's what God can do with your life. Give Him what you've got. Give it to Him. Lay it down at His feet. Bury it. And let it grow. Christ can give you life. Y'all pray for me.